Piece of property. Well,
there's two houses.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this evening's Village Board meeting. We'll call the meeting to order. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All present and accounted for. We're going to move number six, discussion on new, or no, we're going to move Old Village Hall site presentation down to 6B, after discussion action on new I. Are there any other modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as amended? Trustee Dart. Seconded by Trustee Harris. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Any announcements, Mr. Lang?
I don't have
any. No? Okay.
Trevor does.
So as you know, the Ad Hoc Bicycle Pedestrian Committee has been working through the plan. We're nearing completion. We're nearing a draft that we want to give to the for public comment. So the anticipated date for that will be January 17th at 5:30. That would be prior to the board meeting. If we determine that we need more time, then that might be moved. But tentatively, that's the date. We are planning on having a summary to the board prior to that date, just so we get your input before we go to public. So that would either be December 20th, the next board meeting, or January 3rd. So.
Very good. Thank you. Any announcements from the board? Trustee Green.
Heritage Hill Christmas, December 10th, December 17th, from noon till 6. There is all kinds of music, dancing. If you're into historical Santas, they're having an old world Santa versus the Coca-Cola red Santa. And anyway, it's a very good time. They have lots of activities for the kids, too. So if you ever thought about attending, please go.
Great. Thank you. Any other announcements from the board? The only announcement I'd like to make is I'd like to welcome our distinguished guests this evening, our State Representative David Steffen and our County Executive Troy Streckenbach. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen. Okay, on to number five, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to address the board on anything that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I have a couple concerns. On October 4th, Jim Rafter, while attending this board meeting, instructed the board to lay on the table two offers he had on the Green Avenue pump house that was for sale. It had an original asking price of about $20,000. Jim had received offers in September, two offers, and there was no response to those offers. He then, on October 4th, made a motion and was approved by the board to lay on the table until an appraisal is complete and a listing price has been approved, and to notify those who have submitted offers to purchase via their agent of record that the village will contact the real estate agent on record when the property is ready to be listed, which has happened, and that the village board will consider their offers to purchase at that time, which has not happened. The village board has not considered the offers. There's words floating around at various meetings put out by staff that the offer is what's called, somebody sold them to use the word expired. Expired it. The correct word that we use in the industry is, if an offer is dead, it's dead. If it's not dead, it's still alive and can be countered. So the board has a duty to consider the offer to purchase, and if the offers to purchase that were made in September are not acceptable at that original asking price, they have a duty to go ahead and give a counteroffer to buyer number one and to buyer number two. And their agent, who happens to meet me for both parties, has been told that those offers will not be considered at all, but that's not what was said on October 4th. So I believe that the village is bound by what they voted on when they laid the offer on the table, and they have a duty to discuss it and get a counteroffer to both of those parties. It's been 3 months, and that's not acceptable.
I'm happy to address that, Mr. Lerner. You provided two unsolicited offers when the property...
They were solicited.
You provided two unsolicited offers when the property was now for sale. The village board received the first one. We are excited at the prospect of selling the property. You were informed that the village board would have legal review of the offer, and that we would consider it most likely at the following village board meeting. You condemned the village for even suggesting to have legal review of a contract.
It's not true.
Not included.
Sir,
you get to let me speak.
I gave you the legal right to inspect that. I'm the only one who told you that you should have an attorney review this.
That's right. So thankfully, you're not our legal review. So, you condemned us for having legal review. You said it's a straightforward offer. We should consider an open session.
Correct.
You then condemned the board.
I didn't condemn the board.
I demanded that all
discussions be held in open session, because it's a straightforward offer, and I don't like backroom deals.
Okay. You also demanded that when we didn't have a property for sale, that we notify the public that it's for sale, that we erect a for sale sign that the property is for sale,
which has been done,
and that the village clerk publish to the village website,
which has been done,
the asking price. You demanded that prior to it even being for sale.
It's been for sale for 8 years.
Right.
It's been for sale for 8 years.
Sir, it's not
showing it for. I've been showing it for three. It's been for sale for 8 years.
You told us to define the process for selling the property. You told us to have a broker price opinion and fee appraisal done, or to list it with a realtor.
Which has been done.
That's correct. You also, all of which we did, right?
Correct, because that was
also
what was in the memo from Brad on a previous meeting.
Okay.
And so I read Brad's memo, and I said, that's exactly what should be done.
You also informed the village that we rejected your offer by neglect.
Correct.
Correct.
You are...
So as far as you're concerned, that was a dead deal.
No.
Yes.
You then sent me a notice that said you had not rejected it, and that on October 4th you laid it on the table, and you need to discuss it. So
you replied to that email saying, shame on you, Jim Rafter.
Correct. Shame on you, Jim Rafter. You're a very bad person.
Thank you. And now you're accusing us of dragging the process out.
Correct.
You're the one. We could have had this thing done in 30 days. Had you not demanded that we have an appraisal done, that we not define the process for selling it, that we don't publish the listing, we could have had this thing done in two different meetings. But at taxpayers' expense, we went out and had an appraisal done because you recommended it, and
I
basically threatened legal action.
It was brought up to the board, and the credit for having all those things done was actually given to the village attorney, and it's in the minutes that he said that that's the way that the League of Municipalities suggested it be done. So the League of Municipalities, the state does not have a stated method for selling real estate, but they do require that it be done in a responsible manner. Backroom deals at super discounts are not responsible. I didn't want to be associated with any backroom deals. I thought that the offer, the asking price for the village was fine, and so did my clients. And they wrote offers, one at full price and one at $2,000 less than full price. And I read Brad's memo, and then I looked at what the League of Municipalities said, and I said, wow, the League of Municipalities is a pretty smart organization. We should follow their rules, and that's what generated that letter. So
you understand why it took time. Okay, now it's my turn. Talking about wow and smart people and smart organizations, you've condemned or you've suggested that this board and this village is acting unlawfully in many cases.
Correct. And I'm fully prepared to...
Speaking of another organization that is a wow, the Wisconsin Realtors Association, in a document entitled, Your Rights as a Home Buyer or Seller, Wisconsin law does not allow real estate agents to be adversarial to either the seller or the buyer. They are legally required to treat all parties fairly. You have not treated this board or this village fairly in this transaction. I suggest you are acting unlawfully. So, you have asked on many occasions that this board go to the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. I am more than happy to do so.
Correct.
Not on your behalf. I'm more than happy to do so on the village's behalf because of the way that you're treating us. I would also like to ask my board, fellow board members, to get in touch with your employer to let him know,
done that,
to let him know that we are more than happy to accept or entertain any and all offers, but we're not going to entertain them from you because I personally do not want to do business with you.
And you made that very clear. In fact,
thank you.
The village board instructed, actually threatened to take legal action against me because I reported all unlawful behavior by the village board. Specifically, you were unlawfully rezoning commercial property as residential on the Bishop. On the old chapel.
So do something about it.
But it's not my duty. It's not my duty to prepare a bill of particulars, which is what was required of me last time that I reported bad behavior by you or by a state agency. So just so it's very clear that since our state representative is here and our county representative is here, that my complaint was is that the village covered up section 106.
We're not here to talk about that, sir.
Well, you brought it here, so you're the one who opened the door to the need to talk to the Attorney General.
I responded to your statement.
So
we're
we
done.
Need to have the Attorney General take a look at the section 106 fraud by the State Department of Transportation and the State Historic Preservation Office, which made the crossing that you're going to be voting on Sunset Park moved over a little bit because that was going to be prohibited by the Section 106 study. So that impacts what you guys are currently working on.
Mm-hmm.
You also unlawfully rezoned from commercial to apartment complex the Bishop's, the Chapel Hill project. You attempted to rezone from commercial to highway business the property associated next to the Webster Heights. You tried to rezone from single-family residential to apartment the property next to Martha Court. Now, that was all... I have no idea what your motivation for doing that was, but those were all unlawful. The only ones that actually succeeded was the rezoning from commercial to residential on the Chapel Hill property and the rezoning from commercial to residential of the failed Mayflower property.
Have you contacted the Attorney General?
No, I haven't.
Why?
Because that's your job. That's somebody's
Mr.
job.
Mr. Atwood gave you permission to do so at the last meeting, and you said thank you.
That is your job to...
We're done. Thank you. Did you have another?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So that was... so those were the things. And the main problem I have is that the village... Very funny. Very funny.
No, I'm serious. Yes, you have many problems.
Yeah, you're snarky. You're snarky, and I don't like it. The problem that I have is that the village does backroom deals in secret and violates the law. And then, for example, on the Bishop's Chapel property, that was a straight rezoning. With granted
you already
variances.
Said that, sir. What else?
So that
something. Give us something new. What
okay.
Else?
So three fraudulent acts on
okay.
involving the village here.
Jim, we've heard this many times.
Okay. So what, that
is there anything else that you've never said?
So this is what I'm asking for.
Okay.
I'm asking for my state representative and my county representative to assist to ask the Wisconsin Attorney General to look into zoning fraud and to Section 106 fraud as it relates to the properties on Riverside Drive and State Highway 57.
Thank you, Mr. Hurd. Lively start to a meeting. Anyone else in our audience? Pardon me? Dennis, did you want to say something?
I do. I do. It's usually not my practice to respond to people who offer their opinions to the board during public appearances, but this has been so frequent, so redundant, and I'd just like to clarify some of the opinions, real short and sweet, that I've given the board to put this in context. Mr. O'Rourke had complaints about our zoning practices, and I advise this board that I believe that planning unit development classification in the process is very legal, and it's a very effective and valuable tool for the community for zoning. And I believe what we've done with our zoning procedures has been very transparent and is also very defensible, and we should continue to do so. With respect to the continued allegations against some sort of illegal conduct by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the State Historical Society, Mr. O'Rourke has been given multiple opportunities, particularly even before this board in the public forum, to bring forth any evidence of wrongdoing or unlawful activity by these State of Wisconsin departments or individuals. And the board, of course, would want to know and would act on information that they felt, you know, was justified or valid or had some merit. And today we have received nothing but the allegations that something's wrong, that kind of like you're snarky, whatever that might mean. So in the context of all these allegations of things being unlawful around here, I've never seen any evidence of wrongdoing by state agencies, staff, the board, and of course, we're pretty transparent operation, and if there were something like that, and something was amiss, I would get that information to either the district attorney or somebody who would need to see something like that, because that would be my duty. And that's never been triggered on my part. And with respect to these offers to purchase that were made in September, the argument here is that this property's been for sale for 8 years and it has not. And because I've been here for that long, it's not been for sale. So you have offers to purchase for properties that were not actively listed or for sale, but you know, where the board decided they were going to sell these things. So we got a couple of offers, and essentially I would consider them, I don't know if it's an industry term, but they were dead on arrival because the property wasn't for sale. So we went through a process, well, maybe we would like to sell these properties, and how should we do this? What are they worth? We did that. Everyone now has the opportunity. There's a price out there, and they're more than welcome to bring offers to purchase. I know there's other people that like to speak this evening, so I'm gonna end it right there. Thanks. I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the board? Any comments from the board? Okay. On a more positive note, we have two of our distinguished guests this evening, and we'd like to invite Mr. David Steffen up, who has just one re-election to represent us for the 4th Assembly District. So we wanted to welcome him and give him an opportunity to say hello.
Thank you. David Steffen, 1320 Sunray Lane, Village of Howard. First, just a quick comment. We're also incredibly blessed to serve and live in this country where the First Amendment doesn't just protect our right for speech, for the press, religion, but the very last clause in the First Amendment is the protection of our right to petition the government for the redress of grievances. And so, regardless of the thoughts on the comments from the citizen, I'm thankful that we live in a country where we support that. As it relates to me, I'm finishing up my first term as your state representative, and it has been a great honor for me to do so. This last session really provided me a great opportunity to learn how to work best with you as municipal leaders, you as municipal staff, as well as you as members of the community. And I think one of the greatest examples of that was the Riverside Redevelopment Project, where we spent several months collaborating, working together, state elected officials, municipal elected officials, state staff from DOT, municipal staff from the Village of Alloway, as well as the community throughout the entire process, on trying to find the best way to deal with some of the short-term and long-term challenges, some of the community and state challenges that relate to that project. I think that was a great opportunity. I hope you felt like that was an exhibition of my commitment to collaborate with you on all things relating to this great community. And I'm looking forward to doing more of that as we go forward. This last session, because my work on various pieces of legislation relating to municipalities, I was awarded the Municipal Champion Award by the League of Municipalities. And I take that, that's probably my most prestigious award in my mind, because it ties back to my roots as a local elected official, where I spent 8 years, just as you did, serving the people in a village trustee capacity, and it was a great honor there. And I continue to have that strength and commitment to municipal rights. And so as a part of that, there are certainly going to be some issues relating to municipal issues that will be coming up. One relates to cell tower placement that I'm going to be actively engaged with, as well as dark store assessment issues, which if you're not familiar with, I'm sure Attorney Dennis Duffy can brief you on, but they're both very high-profile issues within the state of Wisconsin and have direct and continuing long-term impacts on what the Village of Alloway and other communities are trying to do. Of course, one of the other issues that I'm very excited about, and it certainly came about through direct input from President Rafter, relates to the prison project and fully exploring the full potential that exists within the Village of Alloway of exploring the opportunity of relocating that facility. And that process is going very positively in the right direction, so that we can have a feasibility study and cost analysis to understand what's involved with this. And so I look forward to both formally and informally meetings as this, as well as other meetings, providing you with updates as that goes along. But I'm committed to being here as your representative and working with your staff and with our shared constituents to further the goals and possibilities that exist here in the Village of Alloway, as well as the state of Wisconsin. So again, I just wanted to come and thank you for being such a willing and collaborative partner. My last term, and I am will always be available anytime to work with each and every one of you on any issues of importance going forward for the next 2 years. Thank you.
A wonderful job, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else from the public like to speak? Hearing none, we will move on to... What are we moving on to, Brent? NUI. Discussion regarding 2017 NUI. During the budget process, the village board decided not to include New Eye in the 2017 budget. And we chose to do that for many reasons, I think. One is we just didn't see that we got the value that we were hoping to get. And after we made that decision, Mr. Streckenbach got word of that and gave me a call and said, is there anything we can do? He wanted to understand what was wrong. So we got together on a couple of occasions. I shared with Troy my understanding and basically that the village board was very excited, or the village was excited to have New Eye, to use it as a marketing tool to help get us into the online world and to help us be found. And I think after a year, I think we found, and throughout that process, everyone found this was a pretty big hurdle and a pretty big undertaking. We may have underestimated the level of effort required to really get this thing up and running. So having talked to Troy, I decided that we'd at least put it on the agenda. Troy committed to me or expressed his commitment to putting a more watchful eye over New Eye. I had mentioned that the quality, even of some of the work that was done, wasn't what we had expected, and that's because the partnerships had changed from UWGB to NWTC, and we're just expecting more. And so Troy has committed to us. I won't speak for him, but he did tell me that he committed to putting a more watchful eye over the whole process. I committed to being more collaborative, at least even from my perspective, to do everything I could to help, because I think in the end, what we were all looking for was to help promote Alloway and get those cool videos or the professional videos, get programming up and running. I'd also mention I wasn't real interested. I didn't see a lot of value in the commercial programming and that sort of thing. So what Troy and I talked about bringing to the board was that we would, I am recommending that we reconsider the use of New Eye, at least giving it another year. We're going to work on really branding the local community as opposed to branding New Eye. Now, New Eye, of course, will have it. Northeastern Wisconsin will have its brand. But we're going to concentrate on branding Alloway and getting the most out of the buck. Troy was nice enough and understanding enough to agree to a new kind of a deal, at least for this year, where the $16,000 cost could be split into two. And Troy, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think this is it. And that is, for the first half of the year, we wouldn't pay $8,000, but we would have the opportunity to get some sponsorships to help defray those costs or to cover those costs. And then we would commit to paying $8,000 for the second half. So we would be, in my recommendation, we'd be committing to $8,000 and trying to raise sponsorships, which we can do directly with our local business owners and community organizations, to help defray the cost of the first half. So I invited Troy here tonight to discuss this, and let's see if I missed anything. Oh, I'm also going to recommend, because we've approved the budget, we're basically looking for $8,000, and later on we're going to be talking about the referendum for stadium tax refund, and the cost of the lighting or the stoplight on Riverside is expected to be about $85,000, if I'm correct, Craig. That's what came back from the. So we have another $15,000 that could be allocated towards something else, and I would recommend we allocate the $8,000 to it. Could I invite Troy up to address and answer any questions? Troy, come on up. And thank you and Chad Wendinger is here as well. Thank you, Chad, for joining us. An Alloway resident, by the way. Another Alloway resident.
Right.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to address the board. I think in the end, if you look at the bigger picture of what we're trying to accomplish, and I think President Rafter really summed it up in terms of the challenges. It was a hurdle. I think we underestimated some of the challenges working with Time Warner in order to truly get the access to be able to do the programming and buying the hardware to make it all happen. This was a big hurdle, and unfortunately that did prolong the process of the timing of us being able to make it come forward. Through that process, of course, our partnership with UWGB and the quality of the videos or the video making fell through. It wasn't something that they felt that they were going to be able to handle. So then we reached out to NWTC, which, if you run into Dr. Raffin, you'll say that this is a very positive value add to his students in the programming. So I think from a community standpoint, as this progresses and we find opportunities to continue to find the right videos that the community wants developed, this will give students at NWTC real-life experience that will give them job training to move them forward. That said, there is still a quality video that needs to be produced that I think the village, along with our other village partners, are expecting. And I promised and basically said to Jim that we will work on making sure that happens. The second part of it, of course, is, am I hearing different, or do I need to...
You're doing fine.
Okay, because I hear it. It's kind of weird. We also understand the importance of making sure that we have the SEO optimization or the search appropriately affect designating Alloway, and that we do not compartmentalize NewEye as being the mothership versus making sure that we are promoting Alloway, which was part of the three-prong approach that we really came to you guys initially about this promotion or this concept. The concept was economic development, getting the word out about the community, community awareness, utilizing the ability to use information to be able to promote what's happening throughout the community through multiple modes of social media and the TV, and then transparency. And so while we use the content that's being created from television, we can then redirect that and use it for other means. So that still is the premises of the concept. We think it still has a lot of merit. I think as we're all witnessing, the world is changing in terms of how we receive our news. If we can find a way to make sure that we are, as a government, are trying everything that we can to be able to deliver that information to our citizens. Here we have an opportunity to be regional in our capacity. So we're working with the Village of Alloway, the Village of Howard, the Village of Ashwaubenon, the Town of Lawrence, and the Village of Alloway with Brown County. So here we are working together. It's a collaboration. One municipality wouldn't necessarily be able to do it by itself. So we pulled resources together to make it happen. So I appreciate the opportunity to come back and ask for at least another year in order for us to be able to prove that there is value. I think the board deserves to see that there is a value that's being demonstrated from this partnership. And I think over this next course of the year, that, or at least at the next 6 months, that we'll strongly improve upon what's being delivered. I think having a continued dialogue with Mr. Dennis is going to be on the board, and that we can better understand the needs of the village and be able to bring forward programming that ultimately is what you would like to see on the channel, and then more importantly, how do we take that information and make sure that we get it out in other platforms.
Great. Any questions for Troy? Any thoughts?
Troy, is there actually enough staff to do these things? I'm just wondering if...
So
it is a big job, and it would almost take someone in-house here in Alloway to be working on it, you know, as part of their job. I just can't see one person or a few people doing that for all these villages and getting everything out there. I just can't see that happening.
Sure. So it is a living document. We're trying to improve upon through technology to make it more efficient. That's part of the reason why we have interns that come in to help us. You know, so when you're programming the channel, you have to do it for the 0.00 second. and that requires time. We need to know what the schedule is in advance. It requires us to know and be in communication with the village about what things are changing so we don't have outdated information. So to answer your question, it is. It is time-consuming. I think we will learn through the process of how we can make those decisions or bring forth the programming more effectively as we learn. Right now we are utilizing a lot of volunteer staff and along with the programming through MWTC. But I think it can still be successful, and I think over the next course of the year, we're going to learn a lot. And then as the next year's budgets come forward, either the county or the partnership will decide on how we can move forward. But again, I think we're positioned in this year to try to make it work as best as possible.
Did our anticipated total cost for the year be $16,000?
$8,000 for sure, and then up to $16,000 with sponsorships.
And would elicit the sponsorships? Our staff? Us?
We could.
So it'd be like paid advertising, what you're talking about.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, being a nonprofit, so local business just calls sponsorship.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's sponsorship. It can't be actionable. Advertising.
It can't or cannot?
Cannot.
Okay.
So I basically can't say come in by a car or something.
Brought to you by.
Right. It can be sponsorship.
Okay.
So more like their brand would just be up there, their logo.
Village of Alloways TV is brought to you by, community. In that type of context.
It can be educational, so it informs you about, you just can't call them in to do business with you.
Mm-hmm. Give them a coupon.
Yeah. Correct.
Correct.
Good trip.
Rob, I would like to hear what you have to say since you're in the media business.
This is a little bit different than what I'm involved with from a daily basis, but I like the idea from its beginning, and then it just kind of unraveled. So, and what I'm hearing you coming back with now is kind of, we're aware of some problems. We're addressing those problems. We're fixing those problems. We can move forward on it. For another commitment for another year, I mean, obviously the ideal situation would be able to see a finished product before moving forward on it. But I understand that there's cost involved in doing it too. So I like what it offers to the community. I like what can be put out there. I just haven't seen it yet. And this seems to be the same conversation we had a year ago. But I would also like to ask Bob, who's been in the meetings, and not to put him on the spot, but his opinion on those meetings. I think you've been a little closer to it than I have been.
The concept overall is a good concept of what we're trying to do. However, the focus of what we're trying to do through the process of achievement has not been exactly what we hoped for. There is no specific blame to be put at anyone's feet. Rather than the goals to accomplish what we had hoped for were so disparate between what we were expecting, what they had to offer, and what others had to offer, is in relation to also the elements that were involved in making that event occur. For that example, being WGB and WTC, and what our expectations were at the time. So yes, we came to a screeching halt here, but that is no different than any other business course correction. And a chance for everybody to get all back on the same page and to try to all head out in the same direction to achieve the same goal. That having been said, the continuation as laid out currently is a valid and good idea from the standpoint of let's see that there is still this potential and let's see what happens. After this time frame, we'll have to review it again to see if we've done it. It is a longer test time frame than what we had initially discussed. However, the issues and problems in relation to acquisition of equipment, as well as the ability to be able to staff with volunteers, which is necessary in order to contain costs, were such that there were times when it was difficult to get everything coordinated, understood. Now, with all that having happened this first year, we have a better idea of the proximity of what needs to be done to be able to make this a better, more efficient, more cost-effective, more accomplishment-oriented organization. And as such, I think it's probably a good idea to continue as laid out by President Rafter, and then to review it at the end of that time frame and decide probably the final decision at that time as to whether we would proceed and continue with the process after positive changes, or if we should decide that we would terminate our relationship. And that's basically where it's at.
Thank you.
Trustee Harris.
To echo some of the statements that Rob and Bob have made in terms of the concept, wonderful. And I'm even comfortable with the video quality. No, I don't think anyone's expecting Lucasfilm. Okay, and even the involvement of NWTC to promote that is perfect. You have, you know, this video produced by NWTC staff. Give them credit where they're doing it. That may help them in future opportunities for themselves as well as help promote the village. What I was uncomfortable with as I saw the product watching at home was the content quality. That's where I had concerns. It was the idea that within the first, just 2 weeks after we started, there were events that were being publicized that were a week past. There were regular spelling mistakes. There were instances where we're promoting the farmer's market and the word farmers on the same page had farmers without an apostrophe S, and an S apostrophe on the same page. So that's
so we covered all that.
Yeah.
One of them got it right.
I don't want to, and I'm not saying this person or that person. No. My concern was, okay, if we can't do the video quality, fine, but what if we're not promoting Alloway as, you know, a professional municipality? If we can, you know, if someone else is spotting that, that had my concern. So I'm just
It's completely irresponsible and unacceptable, 100%.
But I understand mistakes happen. It caught my attention, so I didn't know if it caught others' attention. The concern I have in terms of the dollar amount off, just from hearing this presented tonight, $16,000. If we set aside $15,000, theoretically, out of the stadium tax, and we get no sponsorships, we're still in the hole. I know it's quote-unquote only $1,000, but somehow we've committed ourselves to dollars that we don't, in a sense, have.
Well, that we're committing to $8,000, and then if we can raise the other $8,000, we give that money to them. If we can't raise the other $8,000,
okay,
we've failed. But we still owe $8,000. Is that our understanding?
Sure. Total obligation, from what I understand, our discussion would be $8,000, and then that we would work on raising the additional $8,000. If the other $8,000 was not able to be raised, then the village is only responsible still for a total of $8,000.
Okay.
So the objective here is recognizing that the village still has interest to see this work out and become successful, but at the same time realizing that the product that was brought forward a year ago is not what was spelled out. And so I think this is a very fair, and I appreciate the willingness of the board to consider this as an option.
Thank you.
Troy, is there any talk about scaling back the whole concept for just a little bit so you can get your feet on the ground and get running with it? Because, you know, so many things are going on and so many things going wrong. What can we expect to go right? Is there any way that the project, like, everybody gets one video done by X amount, and instead of trying to do everything poorly at once, can get something quality done?
So I think if with anything, plan, schedule, people. So if we know that there's a plan and there's certain videos that the village wants us to produce, we then begin the process of scheduling it, working with the volunteers and the NWTC with their students, and then we plan for it and bring the right people. I think if in a scheduled plan, those things work, but if we're trying to do that at the last minute, or if we're trying to do it in a, you know, a very small window, it does become challenging. Absolutely. As far as scaling it back, I don't know if it's necessarily absolute, because depending on what the village wants completed, I think they're, and it's planned out in an appropriate timeline that gives us the advance ability to program that schedule. Other villages, when they're coming in for their request, the, you know, the ability to fill those spots won't necessarily be available. The main thing is making sure that each village or each community partner is getting fair access to the resources or the commitment of time to be able to program. The other thing that has been kind of discussed, and Bob, correct me, I'm doing this off of what I understand, is that the commission is also looking at how do they take videos that are very similar in nature, but be produced once, but shown at all three different locations. So if it's certain things about snow events, or if it's something about, depending on what you have for municipal code, perhaps those are similar to the other municipalities that can be shared at all three locations, or all three. So we can create PSAs that potentially can be serviceable at the other municipalities. Again, I think over time, we'll learn from the last year, but also look for opportunities for us to be more efficient and be able to produce.
Even having video libraries is going to be helpful. Right now, you just have nothing to start with. That sounds like a lot of coordinating and a lot of work. How many people are really working on this besides volunteers?
Well, we have in through, so the part of the coalition, it actually has one paid staff.
Okay.
That manages this. Mr. Luth, who I think
we've met. Yeah.
Correct.
It's a big job to get that started.
And we talked about that, looking at skill sets and getting the right jobs.
Yep, we're going to be working on finding the right person who can be the front on the programming side. There's a lot of things that we can learn from this. I still think, in the end, the objective behind it is you have municipalities coming together, recognizing for the individual municipality to do this by themselves is probably not a very... at the time, share the resources together and try to get the same product. The question is, the village of Alloway, and I would argue probably the other villages, are sitting back going, hey, all right, we'll give this another year, see what the product is, and we'll assess it, you know, going forward. And I think our goal is that if we can keep the group together and we give it another year, we can make a better product out of it. And it really truly fits the three pillars that we were trying to accomplish, and that was government transparency, community awareness, and economic development opportunities. And so I think if we stay on that focus of what we're trying to accomplish, I think the residents of the village of Alloway, Brown County, will benefit from this endeavor.
Penny, as you're talking about scaling back and listening to all this, that I remember when we first talked about this, and I think I shared this with you, that the thing I was most excited about were the 10 professional quality videos so that we can promote via the web. And in listening to all this talk and looking at the programming schedules for the other organization, or the other municipalities, I wonder if from the cable TV perspective, and this would be up to the commission board and your staff, I wonder if there should be one community TV channel. Not for each individual municipality to create their own programming or to go back to cartoons, but maybe have certain time slots throughout the day that are municipal specific. But then, like you were talking about, to have the countywide perspective, have it be county, have it be community TV. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but it would cut down on multiple municipalities trying to create so much content for live TV.
I think those are all things that are possible, and I think through the discussions between the municipalities, as they see that some of the stuff that they're creating for their own programming slots are very not border specific, they're more community specific, that they will naturally probably get there. And then the time slots that are probably most watched, or the creation of the programming that you want to focus on your community, then you can use that to highlight your community. I think it's probably an end result in the future.
is something that would have to be discussed. It would end up getting into a time political fight in regards to who has the primary spots.
Well, one of the good things that have come from this is, and I mentioned this to you, Jim, is that you know, and nothing's done, of course, as buyouts are taking place. But right now, we're in discussions about potentially having the ability to have programming all the way as far as Marinette, all the way down to Fond du Lac. And this is, just so you guys are aware, one of the first models nationwide where you saw this many communities come together. I think we have something that we, once we get this put together, that there will be people looking to see how we did this in other communities throughout the United States. At least that's what the Time Warner people are telling us. I'm sure.
It must be true.
I don't know.
Any other thoughts or comments? Questions for Troy?
It's a good thing that we work on defined expectations as well as mm-hmm. implementation. And I think that really is the gist behind what we're discussing tonight in regards to where we go from here on. And I think it's a better idea if where we're going now. I feel better about now than making forward. And the expectations not only on our side of the fence, but on the other side of the fence, and then realizing that at some point we have to get rid of the fence and just all work together to get the same goals accomplished.
Well, I thank you, sir. I thank you for your willingness to work with us and bring this thing to life.
I appreciate the opportunity to come back and try to explain. And thank you for allowing me the time and the meeting time. It wouldn't have happened if President Raptor wouldn't allow me to come meet with him. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Not yet. Do I have a motion on this item?
I would make a motion that we follow the procedure as laid out by President Raptor through the efforts that he has worked out with Troy in regards to the expectations of cost and or time frame and or examples of accomplishments, and that we proceed with it specifically delineated by that $8,000 commitment and the time frame as set up in your agreement. Does that make sense? Too wordy? Too long?
Could you repeat that?
I'm okay. Up for election, you know?
I think I've got what you said, and I would second that. So to move it forward based on the new information brought to the table, the new dollar commitment as presented, and once again, a one-year commitment, see what it looks like at the end of 1 year. Definitely.
Okay. We have a motion by Trustee Dennis and a second by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Part of the motion would involve the funding coming from the stadium sales tax, correct?
Correct.
If we go that route, would we then have to alter the resolution to spell out that specific line item?
Yes, sir. Mr. Lamb.
The suggestion would be to write another resolution for that specifically.
Oh, okay.
Because that's not what's been published as the resolution tonight.
Okay.
So that would be my recommendation, that we would just bring it back as another resolution in addition to, now that we have a better understanding of what the cost may be associated with the hawk crossings. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so keep the current one as is, and just come up with a new one for the new one.
Correct. Because...
Yep.
Yeah. But we couldn't do that tonight. That would have to be future.
You should probably get another resolution out.
And it would fit under the economic development?
Correct.
Okay. So we do discuss the resolution on the agenda this evening as well? Or do we table that until...
No.
Okay.
You discuss an act on the resolution you have before you.
Okay. Very good.
We would just make sure I'm following the process. So then we would look at a future resolution modifying the $100,000 that we've set aside for the southern part of the village's crossing to $85,000 with 8 going to the this project and 7 more going to, let's say, the wayfaring signs, because we knew that we weren't going to completely fund that, something along those lines.
Or leave it in the hawk crossing for any overage.
That would be corrective financial delineation separate from procedural expectation of the program.
Excuse me?
Sorry, it made sense to me.
Any other discussion from the board? If there is no opposition to the board, I will suspend the rules and invite Mr. Rourke up.
Two issues. One, I'd like to see the public works meetings recorded and videotaped if possible. It is the committee with the largest budget. I believe their budget is about $2 million. I'm the only one who records those meetings, and they're very, very interesting, and the general public should have access to that. And then also, I found it ironic that Jim Rafter and Mr. Duffy and Brad had a meeting objecting to me recording meetings, and they contacted my boss about that too. So I didn't like that. I think that it's...
is this about New Eye? Aren't we talking about New Eye?
This is about
Jim,
transparency.
If you're not talking about New Eye,
I'm talking about New Eye. So okay. I would like the public works meetings recorded, because those are $2 million budgets. They talk about sidewalks that go in front of people's houses. They talk about crossings, big ticket items, and that's the one that should be recorded most. That's the highest priority. That's the biggest budget as far as the committees go. Thank you.
Okay, we'll pick up the rules. Any further discussion? We have a motion to stay with New Eye for another year at a committed cost of $8,000 and the other 8 to try to be raised through sponsorships. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I comment ex post facto on this thing. That's really an unusual accusation that I just heard out of his mouth, and I'd just like to respond to it, because I've never discouraged him from recording any meeting, attending any meetings. I've never had any discussions with an employer about whether he's recording or not recording. And it's been the practice of this village and Wisconsin state law that if you want to come in and film us, any meeting, committee, so forth, that's your right. And we encourage that.
You are
correct. I don't, and I know that my comments also hold true for both you and Brad, because that has never, ever, I've never heard that happen or said.
That is correct. And when Mr. O'Rourke sent me an email to that effect, I recommended we have a meeting with his employer to clear that up. But he sent me another one saying, shame on you. Thank you very much, Troy. Appreciate it. Chad, thank you for being here. You're welcome to stay. We will move on to item number 6B. Let's have a presentation on the old Village Hall site from Mr. Lang and Mr. Fuller.
Before the village board, that we worked with a potential developer for several months trying to come up with a developer's agreement. And we thought at the time this would be an appropriate time to kind of walk through that site in general. Obviously, we all know it's been a long time vacant piece of property that the village has tried very hard to sell. We learned a lot with this last developer that we were working with when we did some additional environmental assessments, and have a better understanding on what the cost could be associated in the event the project does move forward. So just to kind of give you a little background, when the village purchased the property back in the 70s, there were two buildings on site. One was the southern building was built in 1939, and the northern building in the 50s. So, and then there was also a farmhouse, right, a homestead house that was on the property as well. That home was raised in roughly 1989. So there was a pretty interesting development that took place between the home and the building that was currently there. We're going to step back a little bit farther, because in 1938, this is from the Brown County Land Records, there was the dump. And if, as you can see where the routes were onto the property for residents to discard their waste. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of what has transpired on that property, and the obstacles that we're dealing with today. You know, the 1938 to 2016 is a long time, and we're dealing with those problems that were developed prior to 1938. Again, going back to the recent project working with that potential developer on that $10 to $12 million project, whatever the assessed value would have turned out to be, we would have hoped for the 12, but gave us a real economic tool and a real understanding on how we could move forward with the development of that project and take care of the environmental concerns that are there. So the village really tried to think outside the box and bring a project into the community that benefited everyone because of the tax generation that would have taken place, the water, the beds, or the heads in stores, or bodies in stores and restaurants. So it was a bigger picture that the board really worked hard to try to see come to fruition. That was 96 units. You know, some were single or studios, some were two bedroom apartments. So we're looking at a pretty substantial increase in our population as we've watched over the last several years. Granted, majority of that was when the prison came out of our population, our census, but we still have lost some residents, and certainly that's not the direction we want to go. We need every potential resident in the community to help the community thrive. So with that, I'm going to kind of turn it over to Trevor and let him talk a little bit more of some of the environmental aspects in the current property.
Right. As Brad was saying, so number one, there's environmental issues we have to deal with this particular site. But we also want to make sure that any of that, if we get a return on investment on that. But also looking at the broader village context, and this illustration is from our comprehensive plan, you will notice that roughly 33% of the village land is tax exempt. And those tax exempt properties are welcome in the village, but they do a lot of times have the same services that taxable properties do. So not only are we looking at a return on investment, but also how can we increase our overall tax revenue. So there was a phase one and phase two site assessment done in 2009, and that's when we got the certificate of completion from the DNR. All that was taken care of, and they found some contaminants, xylene and benzene, contaminants in the central part of the site. So this is Webster Avenue here. This is likely from an old underground storage tank. I don't know if it's from it was probably before the village took ownership of the land. But then you also have the landfill that was identified earlier. on the northern portion of the building, and this is First Spirit Bank right here. The study done this past summer was beneficial in that it showed that none of the benzene or xylene contaminants has migrated from the original site, so that's a positive. However, it did show with additional soil borings that the landfill does extend now to this eastern portion. And they made the assumption that is likely when the site was raised, the soil was pushed, and with that soil they pushed from the former landfill there. And another thing to consider with this site, the water table in some areas is 8 feet below the surface. So that's significant when you're talking about bentonite and xylene contaminants in this region, because if you start digging down too deep, you're going to hit water, and then that's all going to have to go to new water. So that's something that potentially, with any project, could add quite a bit to any environmental contamination cleanup costs. So again, this is the identified landfill from the 2009 study. However, the 2016 study shows that the landfill migrated this way, and this is the xylene and bentonite oil concentrations, concentrated area. Oh, sure. There are some resources available. One is we have the TIF. I think that was something identified early on, many years ago when the 2009 study was completed. However, we had 20 years left on that, so we're trying to figure out how we can do a return on investment. Other opportunities include Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Brownfield Grant. That grant is tied with any development project, so we can't just clean up the site now. We have to tie it with a development. And that site will fund up to $500,000 of environmental related cleanup costs, including site acquisition. 30% of the project, up to $500,000 is what I should say. So, if you had a $1 million project, you wouldn't get the $500,000, you'd have $300,000. There is also the DNR zero interest loan. Likely, we would have to take out a loan for this rather than incur interest on that loan and increase the cost. That way, we would qualify for a DNR zero interest loan. And then, again, as we spoke about, there's the existing TIF. However, if we may wait much longer, it's likely we may have to create a new TIF or figure out some other options in order to cover for that. And I'm thinking much longer. I'm thinking 10 years. If we wait longer than 10 years. I saw your eyes, Penny. So there are other options out there that we could consider, either a new rehabilitation TIF like we have now, or we could go environmental TIF, which isn't widely used, but it's an option.
Yeah, we're not going back to that the slide where Trevor was talking, 33% of our community is already tax exempt, and someone could look at that property and say, well, just leave it as a green space, make it a park. Well, if we do any improvements on there, we're going to end up breaking the cap. Therefore, now we're involved in the environmental cleanup. So is that the right method to take? Probably not, because then that expense falls completely on the taxpayer. Where if we combine it with a development project, obviously we're able to get the return on our investment, or we hope that's the goal. Trevor indicated that some of the grants and other options that are available. Trevor and I both attended a DNR-sponsored brownfield grant workshop, It was in Stevens Point back in November, and surprisingly enough, we weren't the only ones in the room. There was roughly 220 or so individuals from throughout the state of Wisconsin that were there that were all dealing with contaminated sites in one way or another. And what they did is they had some presenters come up and talk about different developers that came up and talked about projects that they have undertaken and the steps that they went through. So one, it gave us some context. Of course, we wrote their names down, but also just to learn that it is possible, that it is a possibility to take a brownfield site and turn it into a thriving business or residential development. So we need to stay positive on that aspect as well.
Yeah, something we learned from AECOM, they were the consultant we used to do the environmental research report. Something we learned, this is actually a typical brownfield site. This is in, I know it looks like a lot, but this is, in their estimation, an average site, an average brownfield site. So, again, what Brad was saying, it's possible. It's not anything that we can't overcome.
Again, going back to the corridor study, you know, this site was identified on the corridor study, and isn't that funny how that kind of matches up with the proposal that came before the village itself? It was very similar for the most part. And it did cause, you know, the corridor study called for either a residential or a commercial or a mixed use, and that's certainly what we're striving for, is trying to get the something that has already been called out. Our residents were participants in the corridor study itself, so that's the ultimate goal, is to get something like this to happen. Kind of going into some of the cleanup. The cost of the cleanup. Here's back in 2009 when AECOM first did the environmental assessment. They were just throwing a building up on there and showing what it would look like on a 8,700 square feet.
87,000.
Or 87,000.
Yeah.
New classes.
20,000 square foot.
A 20,000 square foot building. What we were looking at. It was obviously a much larger building. We were looking at more of that 25,000 square foot. And if you, and this is the site with that building of that $10 million to $12 million value. If a slab construction was done on that site, you're still, again, you're breaking that cap, you're still looking at some pretty hefty environmental cleanups. And that could be, AECOM identified this back in 2009, saying it could be between that 500,000 up to a million. Then when we're looking at the proposal that was below grade, of course, those numbers go up a little bit higher. Again, with the recent study that AECOM provided, it helped us understand a little bit more about the geopiers and such that could be used, the vapor barriers, process that you need to go through in order to get a site prepared and ready for development. Creating your green team, which is the DNR, which is, if you're looking at the Wisconsin Economic Development Brownfield Grant, you bring them into the table early. So a lot of that stuff has been done, but again, as Trevor indicated, you can't move forward with the Wisconsin Economic Development Grant without a signed developer's agreement. And we were close. So, when we get into the cost of inactions, because that's where we've been, not that we have not been trying, but the cost of inactions, approximately $1,500 a year it costs us to just mow that site. However, on a $10 million project, if that project would have went through and it was assessed at $10 million, the current, through the TIF, yes, sir?
I just ignored those guys. Sorry.
Hi, Brett. Through the TIP, the increments that would have been generated on a $10 million project was $209,000 a year. So if you're looking at that over the next 20 years, that's over $4 million that would have been brought back in that could be used to take care of some other issues within the community itself. And that's just keeping a straight tax rate as we sit today. That's with no increases whatsoever. Now, if you're looking at a $3.5 million project, you're looking at an annual tax revenue of only $73,000. And if you take that $3.5 million project and you end up throwing in $1 million, roughly, in environmental cleanups, and you get a developer that's looking for an incentive, and just for the sake of argument, they're asking for 20% of that, which is $700,000. So you got $1.7 million invested in getting that project started. Over the course of the remainder of the TIF, you're generating $1.6
million. So your other gains are whatever business it is, and your residents and all those things.
Right.
And you kind of broke even on your own investment.
You may break even on your own investment.
You know, so is that, would you say that's kind of the floor, maybe, the $3 million?
That appears to be probably the level that, and those are some projects that have, from what we understand, came forward years ago. Some of these WIDA properties, and they just didn't work economically because of the cost of the assessment of that property versus the tax credits and everything else that go into that. It just came down to not cost effective, and that wasn't even, those projects, from what I understand, weren't even talking about the environmental aspect.
No.
So, just to kind of give you a little bit of an idea on sure. where we are today versus some of the projects that we looked at in the past. Trevor, I'll let you go through the SWOT.
Okay. I mean, there still are a lot of benefits to the site. I think that's why we keep getting people coming back to the site. This was the furthest through the process we've made it so far, so that's why we were able to, this time around, we were able to identify a lot more about the site, or learn a lot more about the site. But the benefits still include the traffic on Webster, you know, around 14,000 cars drive this every day. You have the hospitals down not too far from here. It's all the way as a whole, centrally located, easy access to the highways. These are things that businesses are looking for. Easy access to Austin's Drawbell. In the corridor study, there's identified leakage for commercial uses in the building, or in the village. And other studies that were done identified a need for multifamily housing in the greater Green Bay area.
Help me with the definition. Leakage?
Leakage.
Business going elsewhere.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And some of the multifamily, too, is also elder apartments and senior apartments that we could possibly get. And being on that medical corridor is ideal, and a transportation corridor, so.
Right. Right. Green Bay did a Baker Tilly study a few years back. And they included outway north 172. And in that area, they identified a lot of needed housing. But there's still things we need to work through. Looking at commercial rates. So if we're talking about commercial development, commercial rates in the greater Green Bay area, we're not a destination commercial rate. So nationally, it's about $13 a square foot. You look at the Bellevue around Costco, or you look at Oneida, they're getting about that. If you look at the periphery, it drops down, and we're including that periphery. So how do you overcome that obstacle? There's the Buckford test with the TIF, developers' incentives to help create that destination. There's also increasing egg counts, traffic counts. So those are things that, rooftops drive commercial. If you have a multi-family development, there's obviously a lot more market there. And then again, there's the environmental contamination we have to work through, but it's nothing that we can't, that hasn't been done before, so.
One of the, there's two items that I missed in the cost of inaction. One is water revenues, because on a project that $10 million project, I'm going to just keep going back to that, because it would have been an ideal project for us, but on that, you're looking at about $36,000+ a year in water revenues, which helps offset costs throughout the rest of the community. When you look at our tax rate, with 33% being tax exempt, we need to do something in order to maintain the service level that our residents are accustomed to. We need to find a way to increase that tax base so that we can continue those services, because what's going to happen, or what could happen, water and sewer rates, they continuously go up. Taxes eventually are probably going to start to see that sometime down the road. But then the services start to fail because we can't afford to do what we've been doing. And that's something that, as the economic development aspect, we all understand, and we all need to work together to get this to happen. Of course, that's why we did the corridor study, to help identify those areas. And when we get into the time frame, as Trevor indicated, every year that passes is just one less year in the TIF district, or in the TIF that we have created. The village ability to participate. 5 years from now, you get a developer that comes forward, or 10 years from now, the village will not be in a position to take a higher incentive or offer a higher incentive to any developer, because we're not going to get that recovery. And the last thing I think I would leave you with, and we're going to be discussing this a little bit later again tonight, is maybe it's time to reduce the price on that property. Show that we are truly eager to get this property moved. So that's just one last thing I wanted to leave you with. Hopefully this was, kind of being a little bit of a picture. I apologize for any of the ums. I don't like to do that. But certainly trying to, going back to that transparency aspect, some of the times we need to be in closed session, because we are dealing with a development agreement, and that's typically why we are in closed session. And we worked long and hard on this past project, and it was a shame that it did fall apart. But it was not without the village itself being a very good player in the game. So thank you for your participation in that.
Well, thank you for going through this. It helped me, I'll tell you that, the historical perspective. And we do have quite the project and the opportunity. Any comments or questions for Brad or Trevor?
I really appreciate the update. I wish we had more folks here that could have kind of experienced it. Maybe some people can pick up the information online or whatever later, but there really was a lot of work by you guys primarily in trying to push this thing forward. I know you met numerous times and answered lots of questions and talked to DNR types and economic development types and all that. And it just didn't fly, and I think we're all very disappointed, but I think the effort was certainly there. And this just wasn't the right, we couldn't quite get to an agreement. And the competition, with developers is so great from other municipalities that also have property they want to develop and are willing to give away the farm, maybe. But I think we really did everything we could do and still make it fly, and it just couldn't get it off the ground.
Anything else?
I do have a question in regards to the shallow water table level that you showed on that one graphic. Is there a need at a future date for us for divergence of flowage and possible adjustments to underground flowage levels?
Nothing that was identified in the environmental report suggests any action that's like that. Are you talking about
just in general? I mean, if the ground table level is that shallow, literally 8 feet, then for purposes of development and building, there will be some ramifications and or needs associated with the land itself, as well as the possibility of intercontaminant with the chemical as well as the water table level. I mean, you do any kind of work there at any time, there will be some type of action and or ramification. I understand that the funds would be available from the brownfield site, but is that something that we also need to look at, consider, and understand as far as the development and usage of that body?
AECOM cited in the report that that's something to be aware of, but as far as coming in contact with the contaminants, they had a proposed underground parking facility on the site and weren't concerned with the water table, how that site plan was laid out. In other areas of that site, it does go deep. The water table is deeper. It's 12, 16 at some points. The DNR reviewed AECOM's recommendations, and that included a vapor barrier with maybe some ventilation around that benzidine and xylene location. But that isn't anything out of the ordinary either. I mean, obviously, for a greenfield site, you're not going to have a vapor barrier, but for a contaminated site like this, it's not uncommon. Did I answer your question?
Well, yes, part of it is unanswerable because we don't know what will happen at that point in time when something is done, but it's also something that we need to keep in mind in the future if there's something to be done on that property, because we really don't know the ramifications behind anything that could possibly be done at that site. So it is something that we need to be aware of. I mean, it's better to be interdictive and to stay ahead of it than to look back at it and go, geez, we probably should have kept an eye on that. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Very nice presentation. Move on to action item number 7, action regarding approval of certified survey map combining lots 12 and part of lot 13 on Rustic Oaks Court, parcel AL-1943-N-12. We'll let Trevor give us an update on that.
So moving the discussion just one property over to the east, the Loach Hall site here, this Rustic Oaks. Again, with these CSMs, these are more accept and place on file type of things. We as a municipality will have a lot of say as far as just leaving comment. And so the current lot, you can't really see it from the audience probably, but from your packet into the current line, and they're just moving that lot over 40 feet. So there's a vacant lot here between two existing homes, and they're just splitting that vacant lot in half. So the comment I asked Brown County is this adjoining property owner also taking the other half? I haven't received a response yet. So because if they are not,
we have a 20-foot parcel.
It essentially leaves exactly a 20-foot parcel that is a legal, or it's not conforming with our zoning code. So,
And who would own that? Who owns that property?
I'm not sure. Okay.
It's a private owner.
Right.
And I have had discussions with the property owner to the north, just informally, and it sounds like they're planning to split the property.
Okay.
But we obviously don't have anything in writing to that effect, huh?
Right.
So if the property owner to the south took 40 feet, that would leave 20 feet unbuildable or whatever.
Right.
And I don't suppose the seller would want that. I mean, what good is that? You know, so.
Okay. I'm assuming they're splitting it. We haven't received anything in writing.
So this is, we have to approve it, right?
We have to basically accept it and place it on file.
Right. Any comments you all had?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to approve it until we know what's going to happen at that piece.
Well, we can't deny it.
Right. I believe the review period will be over before our next meeting. Did you see in the packet?
No later than December 16th.
Can you go back to, or can you ask the county once again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can.
Culture.
I'll give you guys an update at the next meeting.
Yeah, because I can't imagine the seller's not selling the other half. Because then he'd be, or she would be left with a worthless piece of property.
And responsible
but if they could clarify.
Right.
So we can.
Is there some kind of rule about it? If you want to.
So we can provide our comments to the county, right? Concern about the extra 20 feet.
Mm-hmm. So can you rezone? Can you do that when you're creating a? If you were creating a non-conforming property, we couldn't even do it.
You're talking about could you build on it or could you rezone it?
No, I mean if we were by accepting this, and if there wasn't a place for the other half, we couldn't. Could we do that? Say that. Let them make unconforming property by doing this.
I don't think you'd get that. It would get that from Colin.
Right.
Okay.
So it's not your problem. You're recognizing it, you're commenting on it. But Brown County Planning is the one that looks at this to make sure that they're not creating an illegal lot. Because they got the ultimate, they got the initial and ultimate review responsibilities. You got to meet their checklist.
Okay. And it's not going to, if it's not.
Right.
Okay.
So we could approve. We could vote to approve.
Yes.
With our comments, our concern over creating a 20-foot lot. Okay, do I have any motion on this?
Yeah.
Trustee Green.
Move to place on file.
Okay, with our comments.
With comments, oh yeah.
Brown County. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Action number 8, action regarding resolution 2016-23, use of excess stadium tax funds. Do I have a motion on this item? Should I read the resolution?
If you all have.
Would be the recommendation, although we're going to bring it back another resolution authorizing or a resolution for NUI, but you can reduce the dollar amount allocated for the cross.
Okay.
On this resolution right here.
You could, yes.
To 92,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Would it make sense just to do a clean resolution once next meeting? That didn't have all the where but fors and
all that where but fors.
And backwards and forwards and just do it in one?
No.
Just out of curiosity.
You certainly can. I mean, none of this is time sensitive because you're not spending the money at this point. You're just allocating where the funds are going to be going.
And you wouldn't have to redo what you did. You just add another paragraph.
Correct.
I'll send it through spell check.
So wasn't it recommended, Dennis? Didn't you recommend doing a separate
resolution on the financing commitment for July?
Correct.
Right, which would be very similar to what's in the word processor.
Oh, okay, all right.
So. And here I would just recommend that you adopt this resolution with the change that was recommended for the reduction in the one amount, and then, you know, then you're done with that business. I mean, I know you spent a lot of time getting input on, mm-hmm. on this.
So the recommendation by staff and council is to accept the resolution with the modification to the amount for the Hawk Crossing from $100,000 to $92,000.
Correct.
Do I have a motion on that item? Trustee Genrich.
I'll make the motion as indicated to reduce that $100,000 to $92,000. Everything else stays the same.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for putting this wonderful resolution together. And there's a typo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's still one more.
The last paragraph, now therefore. Therefore is spelled incorrectly. So, therefore.
I'd like to buy a bottle.
Action item number 9, listing agreement for Old Village Hall property. Trevor and or Brad, would you like to tell us what you'd like?
The current listing contract with James Wheeler expires the end of this month, and this is just an extension of the same terms for another 6 months. And we can bring back the idea of reducing the price. I did talk with James, so he's aware that that's probably something that could be coming back to him. You don't have to do that tonight, but certainly get his recommendation on where we should go.
Any reason we wouldn't want to do that? I mean, obviously it hasn't sold, so it's like, well, the track record is not great, but it's not so much though.
To reduce the price, you mean?
No.
Yeah. From what I've heard, he's done a good job. We've had it under contract with him since February 2014.
Right.
I wonder if putting it with it or opening it up to other realtors who may have different ideas. I don't know. I would think if a realtor had a buyer, they would bring it regardless of who had it listed.
I would think that James Wheeler knows more about this property than trying to start over with somebody else. I think he's worked hard on it, and if we give him some leeway right away with the sale price of that, I'd be in favor of it, keeping it.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dirk.
I will move to extend the contract with James Wheeler.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 10, discussion action on co-broker fee for the sale of 535 Green Avenue and 3241/3245 Riverside Drive. Property is known as the Greenhouse, Green Avenue Pump House, and the Old Village Hall property.
No.
No? The one on Riverside Drive. Okay, the old supper club. Yeah. Do I have a motion on this item? Or Trustee Dennis. Mr. Dennis, would you like to share some insights with us?
I'll try.
Thank you.
We're familiar with both of these properties for a number of different reasons, but we have gone through a process of getting appraised values. There's been attempts where the village has in the past marketed the Riverside Drive properties and was working with somebody for potential development there. On the question of the co-brokerage fee, sometimes brokers will come to a community and say, I've got, and you don't have a listing agreement with them, or you don't have any sort of brokerage agreement with them, but then they say to you, well, I've got somebody who might be interested in this particular type of location. What's in it for me? Because they're not going to do the work of bringing potential clients to the community unless, because they work on commission. So I'm not sure what Mr. Wheeler would do if another agent came to him and sat down and said, I got a potential offer on your village hall site, what, you know, how would you want to work me into that equation? We have a contractual commission relationship with him for that particular property. The co-broker fee is like some percentage that the board could agree to if they wanted to, if somebody brought a property, or brought an interested seller, you know, to us. Interested buyer, let's reverse everything, brought an interested buyer. We don't need an interested seller.
No, we have one buyer. We are one.
Does staff and the council have a recommendation on this?
Would it make sense for us to just acknowledge that if someone did come our direction with that, we'd be open to it and not set something in stone at this time? Or is that not the right path to take?
Well, you know, you could take that position, but we could probably come back, and I didn't do this kind of investigation, but there's, I know in the Pierre and Howard and so forth, you know, those types of places, they got policies and things in place. We can get examples of what the market is on those kind of situations and then bring that information back. Because nobody wants to come here and say, well, I'm not going to make anything on this deal.
We want to sell the property.
Sure.
I just didn't want to necessarily lock ourselves into a position that may not be the best one for the village.
Would an action then be to defer for now, table, whatever, for more information?
To the 20th.
Yeah. I'd make that recommendation.
In the form of a motion?
I can make it a motion.
Excellent. I would second.
I would second it.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion?
Just to clarify, what are we expecting to happen next?
Can we find out what DePere and other municipalities are doing in situations like this if they have policies in place?
Get a little more research.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And staff will come back with a recommendation, I would hope, or options.
Because we have unlisted property that we're selling ourselves.
Yes.
So that puts us in kind of an unusual situation. Because it's, say you're selling your own home and somebody said, well, I can bring a really hot buyer to you. What's that worth?
You might say 3%, you might say 1%, you might say nothing. So let's see what the other municipalities are doing on property for sale by owner.
Yeah, this could be very helpful for us as we're trying to get some of these properties sold, is to get that information to the realtor so that they know.
Yep,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We will take items 11A through C, action regarding consent agenda, approval of village board minutes dated 10/18, 10/24, 10/26, 11/1, 11/15, 11/29 at 6 p.m., and 11/29 at 6:30 p.m. Accept and place on file minutes from Economic Development Committee dated 11/4, Bike and Ped Ad Hoc Committee dated 11/3, Historic Preservation Committee dated 10/26, Planning Commission dated 10/25, Parks, Rec, and Forestry Committee dated 9/27, amended 10/25, and finally approval of accounts payable dated 10/28, 11/4, 11/11, 11/18, and 11/23. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Trustee Dennis.
Did you repeat that?
Could I have a motion? Seconded by Trustee Harris, I'm assuming. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Item number 12, reports discussion on monthly report on ways to reinvigorate Neighborhood Watch. A very patient DEO, Jason Vogler.
Just an update on a meeting that we had on
November 17th with, put out an email and tried to contact a bunch of the neighborhood block captains for a little meeting here. I did schedule it right before deer season, so I didn't have the turnout that I was really looking for. We did have three groups represent themselves, and Quincy Street is a very, with the help of Jeannie and Rob Krasinski, I'll get you the spelling here later, Debbie, on that. But agreed to, they had about five different neighbors from Quincy Street attend the meeting and everything else, and looks very promising on getting the neighborhood watch started on Quincy Street. I got the paperwork and pamphlet to Jeannie a couple weeks after, and we'll be meeting with them after the holiday season on getting Quincy Street up and running.
Nice.
Spoke of a few things on programs that we can offer at these neighborhood watch meetings and everything else. And yeah, so it was productive. I will be trying to get another meeting here after the holiday season, probably end of January, beginning of February, with the people that were unable to attend, so we can get the ball rolling with a collaborative effort from the block captains and everything else, what's working, what's not, and everything else.
Did the lady who came and spoke on behalf of Village Watch?
She was hunting in Upper Michigan. She just told us. Polly.
Yes. Yeah, she was here today, right? Yeah.
She was here for the sidewalk meeting.
Yeah.
And she was one of my hunters that I couldn't make it. Yeah, that's on me.
So they're still hoping to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was explaining today, they're going to do it during the Kentucky Derby. They're going to have a dog race for the Kentucky Derby. Really? Kind of. The mint juleps.
I was going to say mint juleps at all.
You should have her do a video.
So I definitely want her at the next one here, that after the holiday season I'll be trying to get everyone together here, and we'll figure out some stuff that we can, some activities for the groups to draw their neighbors together.
Great. Any questions for DEO Vogel?
Good job.
And all the captains meet from all the different neighborhoods?
Yep. That's what I'm hoping for here. That's what, trying to draw them all in. Get conversation going on what's working, what's not, and everything else. What's that?
That would be held here.
Yeah, we meet here just right in the same room.
Let us know when that is.
Sure. I'll let you know.
Campaigning. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much. Great work. Do I have a motion to move into closed session convene in closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(c), considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility.
So
moved by Trustee Dennis, I'm guessing seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Roll call.
Aye.
Trustee Harris. Trustee Gennert.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Dennis.
Aye.
We are in closed.